Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you that we can celebrate his coming in a special way this season. Lord, we praise your name. Dear God, I ask that you would fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit, that I may simply minister the word of God to the church this morning, to these that have come. Oh God, I pray for my dear wife. Fill her with your spirit. Help her relaying the message in sign. Pray for those in the nursery watching the children. Fill with thy spirit as they watch over and serve there, Father. Thank you for the word that's gone forth in this place, in the children's Sunday school already, the adult Sunday school. The word that's gone forth, may our hearts yield to your callings. And dear God, I pray that this day you'd meet with each one of us and that we would draw closer to you, Father, that we might be good witnesses for you, not only this season, but every day as we seek your face. We thank you, dear God, for bringing folks here safely. We pray for safe journeys home and safe journeys on Christmas travels, Father, as if you would tarry. And God, we look to you. We look to your hand for all good things, and thank you for all good things already given. And so, Father, we do pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Christmas is a time of great joy and great celebration. I've never enjoyed Christmas so much as I have since I became a Christian and really knew what it was all about. I was telling some people before the services, I ate a donut back there and took another bite of another one. And that's the most sweets I've had in one sitting for about a month. So I'm going to take a break right now and let my wife eat one so she can keep up with me during the service. Amen. I love Christmas time, and I love celebrating Christ. I love sharing Christ. I love sharing Christ, especially at Christmas time. There are so many that need to hear. And Christmas time is a time of great joy. I'm sure we're looking forward to praising God and worshiping him and seeing family and friends, many, and all the great, wonderful things that we do as we get together at Christmas time. But you know, Christmas time is a time of great depression for some people as well. And it may be because they feel there are trials in their life that they're left out. of all the joy that many of us, you know, can experience. The message today gives hope for those who may be suffering in some way at Christian time. There may be at Christmas time. There may be some here that are suffering in some way. There's a sorrow, and there's a struggle, and you feel like Christmas could be just a little bit more joyous, you know, if this was taken care of. Well, I hope that in looking at the first Christmas, that Jesus Christ will become your comfort in whatever trial it is that you're facing, or whatever burden weighs heavy on your heart, maybe at Christmas time more than others. We'll be looking at some of those from the text this morning. I was looking at my files, and it's amazing how many messages that I've preached from Luke chapter 2. When will the Word of God be exhausted? I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime. But this morning, comfort for Christmas care. Comfort for Christmas care. And so we're going to look at, our memory verse we have in the bulletin is, Paul writes, that I may know him, Jesus Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. See, there's some difficult things that we go through, and maybe we feel them more at Christmas time. But Christ and Joseph and Mary in the Christmas scene went through some difficult times, didn't they? Listen, that first Christmas wasn't like the Christmas that we're going to have when we go up and see the kids. It wasn't going to like the Christmas you're going to have with your family. It wasn't like that celebration that you're probably going to have in some way. But you know what? Maybe if you're lacking some of those things, maybe it was. Maybe it was. Maybe you're going to experience more of a first Christmas than some others because of some things that you're lacking, because of some sufferings that you're going through. And by the way, if that's the case, you can experience that in fellowship with Christ. He can give that joy that he wants to give all this Christmas joy. So in the midst of Christmas cares, we can find comfort and fellowship with Christ as we consider his sufferings for us. And first of all, we see there is fellowship with Christ in our shared woes with him. There's fellowship with Christ in our shared woes with him. And first of all, we consider the sufferings of a stranger. One of the things that is joyous about Christmas time is being home. It's that nostalgic feeling. You know, you might remember Christmas growing up in your home, or maybe you've been married for a while and established, and the place that where you're living now is home. And there's something nice about being home and in celebrating Christmas. Kind of a homey feeling, your hometown perhaps, and the home where your family was raised, and that feeling there. Of being home. But a stranger doesn't have that feeling. A stranger may feel a little bit of pressure at Christmas time. Why? Because I'm not home. I wish I could be home. I know Cody and Miriam were looking forward to getting away from the military base and coming down here and being with Grandpa and Grandma Bullock and spending Christmas with them down here, but they couldn't get away. And so they're going to go up there and see them. I know that wasn't their home, perhaps, but they were looking forward to doing that more than being on the base. And so we see that. That may be a struggle for some. But you know, Joseph and Mary, and of course the baby Jesus to come, went through the same thing that first Christmas. Verse 4, Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. You see, Bethlehem was not Joseph's home. The first Christmas didn't take place at home for them, and so they were in a sense strangers where they were at. Now, if you can enjoy being home, and such, then rejoice in that. God has provided that for you. You know what? We're supposed to rejoice in the good things that God's blessed you with. Don't forget to rejoice in them and be thankful to God for them. Even as you're concerned, even as you weep with those that weep, don't forget to rejoice over the blessings that God's given you. That's part of your lot in life, the Bible says. That's what he wants you to do. And so you can do that. But they didn't have that. Bethlehem wasn't home. Now we understand that Joseph's ancestors were from Bethlehem. But we don't know if Bethlehem had ever been Joseph or Mary's home personally. Matter of fact, when the time came for them to go there, what? They went up there from Nazareth. They were in Galilee. That's where, as far as we can tell, where their home was. So they weren't home. They left home to go and have that holy child. And we know that they left from Nazareth. We read that in verse 4. And by the way, they spent some time in Bethlehem, and the baby was born, Bethlehem. After 8 days, the baby was circumcised, according to Jewish law. After 33 more days, Mary was purified, according to the law. Then after that total of 41 days, they went to the temple and brought those sacrifices that they were supposed to bring. They had to give, we'll get to that in the next point, but they brought those sacrifices for the male child. And then when they were done offering those sacrifices, the Bible says, they went home to Nazareth. So they weren't in Bethlehem that little over a month, and they stayed that long because it was close to the temple. They had to be there to make those sacrifices at the right time. And then the Bible says they went home to Nazareth. So Bethlehem was not their home. We think about them as strangers in that sense. The walk from Nazareth to Bethlehem was nigh 100 miles, about 92 miles. This likely would have taken them probably 3 or 4 days, maybe 5, with Mary being so pregnant. You figure the average person walks 3.5 miles per hour. So 8 hours a day of walking, that's almost 30 hours of walking a day. So it's going to take them, 3 to 4 days to walk there to Nazareth. And that would be like walking from Corvallis to Vancouver. It's going to take you a while to walk there. It was quite a journey, quite a travel. And so I believe they felt like strangers there in Bethlehem. And you know, Mary and Joseph are strangers in Bethlehem, but Jesus traveled the farthest, didn't he? He traveled from heaven to come into the womb of Mary. You want to talk about a stranger? He was a stranger here on earth, wasn't he? Amen. And by the way, this is the first Christmas we're talking about. And so we see that. God has a heart for strangers. In Exodus 23, verse 9, he was telling Israel to care about strangers too. He said in Exodus 23, 9, "Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger." You know what a stranger's feeling. You've been there. "You know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." By the way, you and I ought to be feeling more and more like strangers here, the longer we live here, amen. We ought to be looking more and more toward our home city, to our home place. Because brethren, this isn't it, is it? Are you starting to feel out of place? I don't know about you, as the years go by, I'm starting to feel more and more out of place here. Amen. And I'm looking forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be feeling more and more like strangers here. In Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter we call the the Hall of Faith lists great heroes of the faith. And then it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Oh, I'm looking forward to a home, looking forward to a city, Abraham could have said. And it's not a city made with hands. It's something God's going to provide for me. And we could be looking forward to that same thing. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, it's war against the soul. We are strangers and pilgrims here. Listen, we don't love the things that the world loves, I hope. We're not into the things the world's into, brethren. We shouldn't be. And that ought, we ought to feel like strange. We ought to have that fellowship of strangers. You see, when you go through the same trials with others, it creates a bond between you, doesn't it? That's the way we ought to be with one another. That, by the way, that's the way that Christ is with you when you're a stranger. Especially if you're a believer. Well, I can't celebrate Christmas because I'm a stranger. Jesus was. Mary was. Joseph was. That first Christmas. What else do we see? The sufferings of the separated. It seems, as we study the Bible, that when Joseph and Mary got to Bethlehem, that they didn't have family or friends there. Luke chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now consider that. I think it's safe to say at least they didn't have any close family or friends. Why would Joseph have to be going to an inn when his wife is about to have a baby? Certainly if there was some close family or friends in town, they'd have taken him in. Maybe you're in a situation this Christmas where you can't be together with family or friends. You know what? They couldn't either. They were separated from them. That was the first Christmas. You may be experiencing the first Christmas more than someone who's getting together with family. And that, by the way, what does God's Spirit do? He comforts you in that. Why? Because He has gone through the same things, hasn't He? I love the way God set this up, don't you? This is hope for all those who get their eyes on themselves and off of Christ during Christmas. Consider what Christ went through, what Mary and Joseph went through, and all those around the Christmas scene. The sufferings of the separated. Christ left heaven, laid aside His glory, all the glory that He had previously shared with the Father throughout all eternity. The sufferings of the separated. They tried to get a place. Strong evidence that they didn't have at least close family and friends there. What else do we see? The sufferings of the poor. Luke 2:4. They went up from Galilee, out of Nazareth, into Judea. Verse 5, they went up to do what? To be taxed. To be taxed. And then in verse 6, she's delivered of this child out there in the manger where they were. So they didn't have material things. Now, many of us are going to go to some Christmas celebration and open presents. And you're going to have some material things that maybe you'll receive or give to another. And you know what? If God has provided that for you, rejoice in that. And have a great time doing that. Hey, as long as we realize we're stewards of what God has given us, and we give as God directs, we can enjoy the things God has given us as well. And we all, and by the way, the Bible says we ought to do that. We ought to do that. But maybe you're here and you say, well, I just don't have much. Well, guess what? Welcome to the first Christmas. Welcome to the first Christmas. Because they had literally probably nothing. When God chose to have his son born into the world. Find the fact that Joseph, Mary, and Jesus knew what it meant to be materially poor. Think about the cost of this trip. They've got a 3 or 4 day trip with a very pregnant wife. So they're going to have to stop over at night. You know, if you walk 8-10 miles a day, so you've got to bring supplies. You've got to finance this trip all the way down there. Then when they get down there, the Bible says it came to pass that while they were there, the days were accomplished. She should be delivered. You get the idea that they were there a little while before he came delivered. What did they do then? Where did they stay? Were they homeless? We don't know. It may be they got there and were homeless for a little while, and they saved up what little money they had till they knew, well, this is the day the baby's coming. We got to get the room now. But then they go to the inn. Why? Then it's full. Not that the Bible didn't say they couldn't afford the room. It says it was full. The innkeeper says, we have no more room. And so what do they do? They end up having the babe in a manger. They were poor. After they had the baby, I mentioned they stayed in the Bethlehem area there, at least between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, for that little over 40 days. According to the law, they came to the temple to offer the sacrifice for a newborn baby boy. And you find that in Luke 2, verse 22. And when the days were accomplished, or when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, to the firstborn boy. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, that's what they offered. But that offering was only for a specific person, for a specific mother and father. And they had to be poor to offer that offering. Because you read what the law says about that in Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 8, talking about a woman having a firstborn son. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles, that's two turtle doves, or two young pigeons. If they can't provide a lamb, then they can bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. They couldn't even buy a lamb when they brought that offering. You see, they knew what it was to be poor. They knew what it was to be poor. He financed that trip. They had to, and what did they do when they have to get to Bethlehem? Pay taxes. Pay taxes. I love taxes, don't you? That was a wonderful thought that Caesar had. We're running kind of low funds. Kind of low in our funds, guys. We need to get some money. I know. Let's tax the world. How'd you like to get that letter in your mailbox? Got this letter and this postcard in the mailbox the other day. Oregon's major tax events coming up. This is a Taxpayer Association of Oregon. I love these people. And they let us know how much we're getting raked over all the time by the state here. The latest data shows that state and local governments in Oregon spend more tax dollars per person than 44 other states. Oregon is growing at breakneck speed. It just jumped from 10th biggest to the 6th biggest spending state in the nation. Wow. Coming up, Behold, I bring you sad tidings. Coming up this coming year, 2018, a 0.04 cents on gas tax, a $13 increase on your title and registration fee, and a little increase on your payroll tax. Got a ballot measure coming up, ballot measure 101 on healthcare tax. We get the vote on that. Vote against it, folks. did I say that? Yeah, I said that. Legislative tax. Governor Brown proposed $700 million for a carbon tax. Wow. And a $40 million bond for the University of Oregon campus. Wow. Well, Joseph and Mary got a card in the mail, and maybe he Twittered it. I don't know. But they were probably just as concerned or more than we. They got there, and they had to pay those taxes. But listen, they knew what poverty was that first Christmas. And if you're struggling materially, you have a fellowship with Christ at this time that others not going through that trial don't have. There's fellowship in his sufferings. And he is when we are experiencing those sufferings, he is close to us then in that kind of fellowship, you see. Second Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. We know there was a time in his ministry when Jesus was homeless. Matthew 8:20. Jesus is speaking to someone. He says, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I don't have a place to call home, Jesus said. Foxes have those holes, that's home. The birds have nests, that's their home. Right now, I don't have one. We know that when he was getting ready to go and offer himself into the temple as the king in the last days of the ministry of his life, he's camped out in where? Gethsemane, right? In the garden there. He'd go out there at night, and he'd come back early in the morning to preach at the temple. He knew what it was like to live outside for a while and to be homeless. You have that like fellowship in those in that. What else do we see? The sufferings of the struggling. Verse 1, came to pass in those days when I had a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And there it started. Yep. On comes their what? Their hard journey. What did we just sing? O ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way. They had to climb some hills, but they did on that trip. With painful steps and slow. That was the first Christmas, folks. That was a toilsome journey for them. That was a toilsome journey while they were there. When they arrived, it was a toilsome journey back. The timing of the taxing was terrible. She's about to have a baby. Now we got to make a 100-mile trip to pay taxes. The conditions of the taxing, he's got to go to Bethlehem. The place of the birth, you won't get in the inn. They'll be in the manger outside. So I'm having some difficult times in my life right now, preacher. I can't enjoy Christmas. Oh, you can relate to the first Christmas. And the God of the first Christmas can relate to you and comfort you the way no one else can. The sufferings of the struggling. He gives us comfort and fellowship in those things. It's interesting, as I consider these sufferings, my wife and I were out visiting a little while yesterday. In our short time visiting, we met people that would encompass almost all these problems that we talked about. I mean, there are people that even begin to feel suicidal at Christmas time. Why? Because we have all the pains of life normally, and then all the things at Christmas time that we think everyone ought to have because everybody else has them, just compounds it. And yet there's an answer, isn't there? It's getting our eyes in the right place. And we're going to leave you with the answer. We've seen all of these. The cares and the sufferings of a stranger, the separated, the poor, the struggling. But there is fellowship with Christ in our sanctified wonder of Him. You see, we can still have peace, what? If we worship and love Jesus Christ. And our eyes are focused upon Him. Look at these verses as I wind it down here. Luke 2:16. They came with haste, the shepherds did, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told concerning this child. Look at verse 18. And all they that heard it, what? Wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 19. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their heart. You see, we may know they went through all those sufferings on their trip. But brethren, that's not where their mind was. That's not where their heart was. You know where their mind and heart were? Mary and Joseph. They were about to behold the face of the Messiah. She had been carrying that babe 9 months. And He's going to come. Maybe Joseph had thought, well, he knew the scriptures. He was a godly man. Maybe we should move to Bethlehem. And now, all of a sudden, the king of the world says, I'm moving you to Bethlehem. I think Joseph recognizes something's probably up. And you know what? They were looking for that. They weren't concerned about the trip, about the money they didn't have. Why? Because God had already performed miracles for them. They had their eyes on God. Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. Kept them going on that journey. Why? Because her eyes were on Jesus. In a sense, Mary and Joseph. What about those shepherds? Mitch, they're weary journey, their toiling, their climbing way, their painful steps and low. Think about the life of a shepherd. You can read about that when you read about Jacob, being a shepherd and watching over the sheep in the daytime in a desert climate, just sweltering hot, and then at night in a desert climate, freezing cold, and watching out for lions and bears and wolves and whatever else was around there. And the shepherd was a despised profession, really. They took everybody. They did look down. They were looked down on. But was their focus? Oh, when you came to Mary and Joseph, and would have asked them, "How was your trip to Bethlehem?" What do you think their answer would have been? Oh, It was so weary. I mean, it was so long, I didn't think we'd ever... No, I tell you what, the Messiah was born, amen? And God moved. The shepherds came and said, we just talked to some angels. How about those shepherds? What do you think their answer was when people asked about their stay in Bethlehem that night? Oh, it was like usual. It was just so long, hot during the day. I don't know what the climate was, but freezing cold at night, watching for the wolves and all that. Oh, no. The angels came and spoke to us and said, "Behold, unto you is born this day what? In the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Amen. You see, they got their eyes on Jesus. Their circumstances hadn't changed, folks. Christmas was glorious and is glorious because of who came on Christmas Day. Amen. Amen. That, and it always will be. And that'll never change. What about the townspeople at Bethlehem that had to go to Bethlehem, others, and pay their taxes? Well, how was it? Oh, it was just so laborious. And then we got to dish out this money to Caesar. No. Did you know that at Bethlehem, while we were there, some people saw some part of the sky out there in the field just light up? We didn't know what was going on. I mean, goodness, you know, we had those on the news, Fox News, the other day. They had two, I think, retired Air Force pilots. They were talking about a UFO that they had seen, and they actually had a film of it on. They called it, it looked like a tic-tac on the film. It was far enough away, they don't know what it was. And so it was truly an unidentified flying object, a UFO. But they just talked about that. But no, in Bethlehem there was. We saw the sky just lit up out there. Well, what was it? That was the angels talking to the shepherds. And then we heard these shepherds come in. They go and tell everybody. These angels appeared to us and said what? Lo, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. And sure enough, we found that couple out there in the cave. And there was the baby. That was the talk of the town. You see? When we get our eyes on the wonder and the worship of Christ, His fellowship will get us through all the sufferings of life. Why? Because He went through those sufferings with us, didn't He? He chose to suffer the same things that you and I suffer in this life. And He even came on the first Christmas day in a manner that those around the Christmas scene involved in it were also suffering those things of life. And yet they found that great joy. Amidst it all, God had reached out to man and provided salvation through faith in Christ. And He had also provided the one upon whom we may cast all our cares because He careth for you. What a Christmas morn. Amen. A Christmas morn that will provide joy and comfort for all. No matter what your circumstances are, what? If we'll look to Him. If we'll remember that in our sufferings that we have, there's a fellowship with Christ in our sanctified wonder of Him. That is, we set Him apart so that we worship Him in wonder all of our lives for what He's done for us. And by the way, for what's coming our way. What He's promised us, that we trusted Him as our Savior. Those things, brethren, don't change. And we need to have our eyes and our hearts and focus there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You've been so good to us. I thank You for Jesus Christ, our Savior. I know that He's not here in body anymore. And You've told us where He is. He's being our advocate at Your right hand. He ever lives to make intercession for us. I thank You for that. Not only that, Lord Jesus, You have sent Your Spirit into our hearts the moment we trusted You, to be our comforter, our personal comforter. If we'll keep our eyes on you, you will comfort us and guide us and provide for us through every situation of life, and be our joy and be our peace, even as you were in the lives of these that first Christmas. And oh God, we may each one meet somebody this Christmas season who's facing one or more of these trials. Give us wisdom to speak to them about the first Christmas, how that these were going through those same kind of trials, and yet God brought wonder in their life because they considered that he had sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our Savior. Might we be able to encourage those who we may find discouraged this season in reminding them that you have provided a lowly Savior who is now an exalted King and Lord. And God, that they too can find comfort in the one who has suffered for them and risen again. Oh, Father, give us the wisdom and the grace to share these things to those in need. Bless our time of fellowship with friends and family, or just together, or just with you, whatever it might be. But might we draw closer to you and rejoice in the true riches of Christmas, which we have seen here today, which in fact is your Son, our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We do ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.